Psalm 119, verse number 11. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." This evening, with the help of God, I would like to preach a practical message on why we should memorize Scripture. I believe memorizing Scripture is a lost art among many Christians, if I can call it that. Now, whereas in times past, memorizing Scripture used to be emphasized in Scriptures and in Christian homes, it seems with the thousands of distractions in our day, it is something that is passed by. And I would say even the simple reading of God's Word is often neglected by the average Christian because we are so bombarded with a thousand distractions. But it is something, I believe, that God wants us to practice so that we might be strengthened, so that we might be encouraged, so that we might be faithful soldiers of Jesus Christ as we witness for the name of our God. So tonight, as we look at this subject, let me give you 9 reasons why we ought to give time to memorize God's holy, precious, most wonderful Word. And we begin with the first point from this passage, Psalm 119, verse 11. And the reason why we should memorize Scripture is because it will keep us from sin and temptation. We ought to memorize Scripture because it will keep us from sin and temptation. The psalmist here cries out, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." God's word has been my meditation all the day long. The word is set before me constantly for one purpose and one purpose only, so that I might sin, so that I might not sin against God. You see, there was a sensitivity in the heart of the psalmist, and the sensitivity was of offending his God. His sensitivity was towards sin. He wanted to walk the pathway of righteousness. He wanted to deny ungodliness and worldly lust so that he might live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The psalmist here does not want to be conformed to the image of this world, but he wants to be transformed in the renewing of his mind. And he knows the way to be transformed is through not only the meditation of God's Word, but the memorization of God's Word. And so we learn that if we want to have victory over sin and temptation, we must be those who constantly chew on the truths of God's Word. The reality is we will never be sinless or free from temptation this side of heaven, but we can know victory over sin and temptation if we give way to biblical practices that are outlined in the Word of God. You understand that Satan's objective for both unbelievers and believers is to distort God's Word, and in distorting God's Word, to get you to doubt God's Word, and getting you to doubt God's Word is to ultimately get you to disobey and sin against God's holy commandments. That is Satan's primary aim, and we see that in the garden. The slithery serpent going to Eve and saying, "Hath God said? Is God's word true? Will God keep his promises?" And then in the ears of Eve saying, "Ye shall not surely die," and kicking against God's word and wanting Eve to doubt God's commandments. And Satan is the father of lies who desires to take us down. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The father of lie desires that we would abandon the truth of God. And so we must fight with truth. The word of the Lord is the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the fiery darts of the wicked one come at us, and they come out as strong, and we must have our weapon ready. We are soldiers in a battle, and the word of God is our defensive shield, and it is our offensive weapon, if I can remind you of Jesus' temptation in Matthew chapter 4. Now, Satan comes to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. He comes to the Holy One, the perfect, sinless Son of God, the Messiah, and tempts Him, "Turn these stones into bread. Cast yourself down." And how does Jesus combat the enemy? He combats the enemy with the Word of God. "It is written, it is written, it is written," three times, throwing him with a force that he cannot handle. Throwing him with a force that is heavenly or spiritual in nature. And so we need to memorize God's Word to keep us from sin and temptation. God's Word was hid in David's heart so that it might lead him in the pathway of holiness and righteousness. As he cries out, his desire is to walk in his own house with a perfect heart. David, a man after God's own heart, gives time to memorize God's Word. So God's Word will help us in the fight against the sin of lust, the sin of pride, the sin of selfishness, the sin of covetousness, the sin of laziness, ingratitude, and gossip. The second reason why we ought to memorize God's Word is because it will encourage our hearts. And Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." And Jeremiah says a source of encouragement in the ministry for him was the word of God. It was the very truth that God had preserved for Jeremiah that brought strength to his ministry. And Jeremiah knew what it was to war a good warfare. Jeremiah had his discouraging days. Jeremiah almost threw in the towel. He said, "I'm done speaking judgment in the name of the Lord. Nobody's responding. People are continuing with stiff necks and hard hearts. Why should I prevail? Why should I move forward?" And then he turns to the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is the rejoicing of his heart. You need the Word of God to encourage your heart during times of difficulties. And Jeremiah was discouraged and feasted upon God's Word. The Bible says, Galatians 6:9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." But the reality is, we do become weary in well-doing. Servants do get tired. Those plowing in the field do grow faint. The Bible calls on us to be steadfast and unmovable. And in our desire to be steadfast, sometimes we meet with what I call the hauntings of hell. Sometimes we meet with those battles that are spiritual in nature. As Paul tells us, Ephesians chapter 6, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in this world. And sometimes there's just a dark, overwhelming cloud that floods the soul. And so we need God's Word to remind us of God's truth. And what are those truths that we are reminded of? Well, God will never leave us nor forsake us. In those times that we've felt abandoned by God, we remind ourselves of this truth. In those times we are paralyzed by fear and anxiety regarding tomorrow, we remember that we don't have to worry about tomorrow. That God is the provider for the birds and the ravens, for the foxes of the field, and so He will be with us. When we are discouraged, to to quit trusting in the Lord in a particular area of our life. We have that scripture right there in the forefront of our mind, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And so this being etched in our mind is the ammunition to fight when these thoughts of doubts come to our heart. When you are discouraged because you've been seeking counsel or guidance from the Lord, but you haven't received an answer yet, and you remember Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You're encouraged. So we need to memorize Scripture so that our hearts remain encouraged. And then, number three, we need to memorize Scripture because it will help us in our witness for Christ. And over the last two Sunday nights, we've been speaking of that theme. Our responsibility to let our light so shine before men so that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Our responsibility to be fervent, faithful fishers of men. And as we go forth into our places of employment, as we go forth into our communities, and as we have opportunity to share the gospel with others, what better way to speak of God's truth than knowing it in our hearts and in our minds? You see, as we look at the apostles and Jesus and the prophets and their witnessing opportunities, we see that they did not carry a pocket New Testament. They knew the Word because they gave time to reading, meditating, and memorizing the Word of God. We see this in Acts chapter 7 with Stephen. Stephen preaches a powerful message. And those under the sound of Stephen's voice gnash their teeth towards him. But Stephen, this man full of faith, full of the Spirit, is a man full of God's Word. And he is quoting Scripture after Scripture after Scriptures, giving them the power of God unto salvation, which is the Gospel. The Scripture teaches us that those who are greatly used of the Lord to lead others to Christ not only knew the Scriptures, but had God's Word memorized. And so when you come across someone who's holding on to the notion that salvation is by works, what do you say? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. And you're giving them verse after verse after verse when you talk to somebody about the divinity of Jesus Christ and Christ being God. What do you say? Do you have a verse for that? Regarding the Trinity? Regarding the blood atonement? The Bible ought to roll off our tongue. It's so much more profitable to have God's Word in our heart and our minds than saying, wait a minute, give me 5 minutes and I'll get back to you. Wait a minute, let me go to my concordance and give you one verse at a time. But to know God's Word will give us strength in our witnessing ability. And then number four, memorizing God's Word will strengthen our prayer life. John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus says, if ye abide in Me and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And notice Jesus' tying in with God's Word abiding in us and prayer. There's nothing more helpful in prayer than knowing God's Word. What is prayer? Prayer is simply talking to God. Prayer is submitting the heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God and prayer go hand in hand. The indwelling Word of God in our hearts works in harmony of asking God's will to be done in our lives. We don't want to pray and ask amiss, as James warns us. There are those who pray, but they do not receive the answer to their prayers because they are asking with personal ambition, with selfish hearts and selfish motives. So how can we be clean or cleansed from those selfish motives? Well, by knowing the Word of God. And in prayer, we pray the Scriptures. In prayer, we echo God's truth back to His ears. And we say, Lord, You said You will build Your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, Lord, come build Your church. Lord, You said, if any lack wisdom, let them ask of God. So I'm coming to Your throne of grace, to the fountain of all wisdom, asking for wisdom. A preacher might pray as he prepares to preach, Lord, let my preaching and my teaching not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. He's praying God's Word back to him. And often I pray around the dinner table, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in Thy sight. Some people struggle to know what to pray. What do I say? Well, pray the Scriptures. And you can pray the Scriptures if you have them memorized. If you have them available and they are in the reach of your hands. We ought to memorize Scripture because it will strengthen our prayer life. Number five, we ought to memorize Scripture because it will encourage the body of Christ. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. One of the many blessings that we have in coming together on the Lord's Day in the Lord's Church is that we have opportunity to provoke and encourage one another in the Lord. Yes, one of the main benefits of the Lord's Day is the preaching and teaching of the Word. But we also have the blessing of rubbing shoulders with our brothers and sisters in Christ and in rubbing shoulders with them to go to them and say, hey, how are you doing? And then to say, hey, really, how are you doing? And then if somebody's honest and humble enough, perhaps they'll say, I'm really struggling. You can pray for me in this area of my life. The battle's been hard. Satan's been attacking. And then when we come, wrapping our hand around the shoulder of the one who is weak and weary, and we provoke unto love and good works. Well, how do we do that? With the Word of God. Don't give up, brother or sister. Be steadfast, unmovable. Your work is not in vain in the Lord. Don't give up, soldier of Christ. The church needs you as you continue to sow the good seed of the gospel. We shall see a great harvest. I know there are times where you seem alone, but remember the word of God that has been spoken unto you. Jesus will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see, we need the local church because we need each other. So one of the responsibilities is not just to come and to fill a pew, but is to look out, esteeming others better than ourselves, to look out and to see who are the weak ones, who are the lonely ones, who are the discouraged one. Let's find them out. Rather than sitting back and waiting for others to come to us, there's somebody struggling, so let's look out and see who we can encourage in the Lord today. They may be on the last rope. They may be contemplating 1,000 different things. So memorizing God's Word will bring comfort. It will bring counsel. And we build one another up in the most holy faith. And that is God's great wisdom. We are to teach and admonish one another in the faith. Colossians chapter 3, 16. So if we memorize God's Word, we will be more used of God in helping others. Rather than just spitting out self-help philosophical statements, we'll have the Word of God at our disposal, which is able to comfort and help God's sheep. Number six, we ought to memorize God's Word because it will help us lead our family. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Moses tells us through God's instructions that the Word of God is to be in the hearts of all parents, and being in the hearts of all parents, that it should shine forth to their children. And parents ought to be diligent in nurturing their children in the ways of the Lord, in the Word of God. And the more we know God's Scripture, the more we have it memorized, the more we can speak to our children about spiritual things. As we go out on a hike and we see perhaps an ant, is there any spiritual instruction that we can give to our children regarding life and the spiritual walk with God? Proverbs 6, look to the ant, thou sluggard. And you can say to your child, have you ever seen an ant flipped upside down, lying on its back, getting a suntan? The answer is no. Ants are constantly busy. They're going and going and going. And so God wants the believer to keep going in the work of the Lord. Laziness, gluttony is a sin. And so God wants us to be busy worker ants. And perhaps we go to the zoo and see a leopard. And from the message this morning, we might look at the leopard and ask our children, can the leopard change his spots? Oh, no, the leopard can't change his spots. And tie that in with the gospel. Just as the leopard cannot change his spots, so man cannot change his heart. Man needs a supernatural working of God's Holy Spirit to bring him into the kingdom of God. And you're using things from all over this life to bring them to truth so the truth might set them free. We ought to memorize God's Word because it will help us in the leadership of our family. Husbands, the leaders of the home, you're to be filled with scriptural knowledge and understanding as you lead your wife. And the more you have God's Word at your disposal, the more beneficial you will be as you seek to point your family in the right way, in the way that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 7, we have to memorize God's Word because it will give us daily guidance in doing God's will. Now, we spoke of the great subject of God's will Wednesday night regarding those big decisions. But we face God's will on a daily basis. And the Bible says, Psalm 119, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The will and mind of God is revealed in the Word of God. And people are always asking, what is God's will? Well, if we know God's Word, we will know God's will. We need to be daily guided by the precepts of what God has said. And perhaps a young person might be struggling about a friendship that is not very healthy, or maybe a friend who has a mouth full of trash, vulgar, a friend who has ungodly habits in their life. Should I have this friend? And they would remember 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And as they know that verse, because they've memorized it, they know God's will for my life is not to hang around that one who has a dirty testimony. Perhaps you're going through the day and you may be considering a lost coworker across the desk. And you would ask, should I witness to this coworker? And Mark 16, 15, because you've memorized it, comes to your mind, preach the gospel to every creature. That's God's will, so it must be done. And memorizing God's Word helps us in our doing our responsibilities. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so as we're in our homes with our wives, we're reminded of how particularly to love our wives. And we're constantly examining ourselves to see if we are loving our wives as Christ loved the church. And children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And if you have that etched in your mind as your parents tell you something and you're tempted to disobey, you would remind yourself, obeying mom and dad is obeying the Lord. I need to honor my father and mother because it's right. And perhaps you're tempted to complain and murmur and groan about something, and because it's etched on your mind, you've memorized it and you've been recalling it, you would remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And perhaps there's a situation where another is unkind to you, and you feel like retaliating. You feel like giving them a piece of your mind, so to speak. But you remember Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is God's will. As we have opportunity to give to the Lord financially in God's house, we remember before we give that God loves not just any giver, but God loves a cheerful giver. This is God's will. So we memorize the scripture so that we might be guided into doing God's will. And then number 8, we memorize scripture because it will give us spiritual discernment. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. One of the greatest problems in Christianity today is a lack of biblical discernment, biblical wisdom, biblical prudence, even spiritual common sense. If we're filled with the Bible, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, we will be discerning in all of our ways. And we need discernment because Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, his ministers as ministers of righteousness. We need discernment because Satan places false teachers among the circles of Christianity. Satan attaches Bible verses to his lies and makes it look good. So we can't trust anybody just on TV who's preaching the Bible. We can't just trust anybody on the radio station just because they call themselves a Christian teacher. And there is so much falsehood out there. So we need to know God's word so we will be kept from errors. The Bible says there are professing Christians who claim to speak for Jesus. And we know the human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And God wants us to serve Him in knowledge and in all judgment. And we will have knowledge and judgment if we are memorizing God's holy word. It will be our stepping stones in life, keeping us on the straight and narrow path. And the more we ignore God's word, the more we take away these stepping stones, the more we see ourselves straying to the left or to the right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of instruction. And so we need this fear of God in our hearts all the day long, constantly before our eyes. And we can have God's fear before our eyes as we memorize God's word. And then our last point, we ought to memorize God's word so that we will obey God's word. John 13:17, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. It's one thing to know God's word. It's another thing to actually do God's word. And simply knowing God's word will not necessarily bring joy to your life, satisfaction to your soul. But those who actually practice God's word are those who are blessed or are happy in the Lord. So the end result of memorization is always obedience. The end result is not simply to fill your brain, but the end result is to have your heart conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is the end goal. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There is a warning here in our last point. And the warning is we need to be careful of becoming a Pharisee. The amount of Scripture memorized does not make you more spiritual than others. The Pharisees knew and quoted God's Word, yet they were rebuked by Jesus for their external hypocrisy dozens of times. I remember years ago going online and seeing a preacher who memorized many books of the Bible. And not knowing anything about this preacher, my heart was greatly encouraged. And then, after seeing a few other videos connected with this scripture memory video about this preacher, I became very disturbed. And I saw that this man was a man of great arrogance, a man of pride, a man who was not truly obedient to the commandments of the Lord. And I said to myself, what benefit is there in memorizing all these scriptures if you're not clothed in humility and you do not have the essence of Christ pouring out of you? And I saw him as a modern-day Pharisee. Again, my heart was greatly encouraged by his scriptural memorization, but then seeing his attitude, hearing his hateful words, devilish words that he would say from the pulpit to his church family, you lose taste and you see that the end result of scripture memorization is not necessarily to puff yourself up and to know, but to obey God's word. In James 1:25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It's the man who's a doer of God's word that is blessed. The preacher in Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Not fear God and know his commandments, but keep his commandments. So concluding application is nobody is too old and nobody is too young to start memorizing Scripture. Take one verse and one verse a day and keep it constantly before your eyes. Make a goal, one verse a week. And if that seems too low for you, one verse a day, and it can be done. Now, understanding the application, memorizing Scripture takes time. Like anything in life, it takes discipline, it takes work, but it can be done. I'm convicted that I need to do more of this in our home and setting the Scriptures before the eyes of our children. At one point, we were working through an alphabetical system and a verse with A and a verse with B and a verse with C, and they had them all memorized. And I've been lacking, but I need to pick it back up. And there are many excuses about why we can't memorize. And somebody might say, well, I'm just bad at memorizing. And then they just write it off. I can't do it. I don't have the time. I'm too old or I'm too young. And my answer to that is we will spend more time. And we will pay big money to go to a gym and make sure our physical body is fit when our souls need nourishment from the Word of God. Think about how many phone numbers you have memorized. Think about how many sports stats you know. Think about how many songs you can recite. And if we know these things, it should teach us that we can do it by constantly speaking the truth over and over and over. Really, we have no excuse not to memorize God's Word. We have iPads and iPhones with apps that will help us. iPad apps, iPhone apps that will speak verses to us over and over and over. We can record our own voice and we can learn scripture passages. And there are apps that you can type in the scriptures and you can see it. And there are flashcards and you can have a 3x5 card stuck in your pocket. You can keep it in your car when you're at the stoplight, calling to mind the scriptures, post-it notes. Perhaps in your home or at work, a voice recorder, Bible memory programs, whiteboards, you name it. And these are just a few of the things that I've been helped by and that have helped others. But there is so much out there that can help you. Start with one verse. Start with small verses. Put it on your desk at work. It takes work, but it is well worth the time. Christians of old memorized more scripture than we do, or than we have, having less tools to help. I think often we take our Bibles for granted. If somehow we endured great persecution and your Bible was ripped from you, how much would you know? What could you call to mind? If somehow the government could take away every Bible you own, collectively, how would we do in reciting God's word to one another? And there are Christians like that in the world even today. Christians in the underground church hiding their Bibles. People who are meeting in secluded places without the Bible and they're solely working off of what they have read in times past. So what I'm saying is get into God's Word and God's Word will get into you. The Bible will keep you from sin and sin will keep you from the Bible. Say with the psalmist in Psalm 119, 97, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day long." Be blessed like the man in Psalm 1:1-2, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Whatsoever things are lovely, pure, just, good report, what should we do? Think on those things. Meditate. Memorize. Give yourself to them so that you might be a profitable servant of Jesus Christ.